Truth Revolution.
From the inner self to outer space, from biology to the Bible, we're Truth Revolution. I'm Pastor Dave, that's Pastor Jeff, and
we're Truth Revolution. We're from Revolution Church.
That's right, Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas. Glad you're joining us today. If you haven't been out to Revolution Church, you need to get out here. We have multiple service times for you. Always check our website, reba.church, to see what service time would work for you, because we're changing them all the time. I know it's like a hobby of ours.
Yeah, I think we got it down, though, now.
It's time to change it, then.
Come on now.
Actually, we were just talking about service time changes this morning. Anyway, you know what? Forget that. We got an awesome show today. Jesus can be kind of an annoying thing to talk about for a lot of people because he's pretty exclusive.
Right.
Like, I've had people say to me things like, you know, I like the idea of religion, I'm spiritual, but like this whole idea that there's only one way, I'm not a big fan of that. Well, we're going to break that down with a guest we've had on before. Dave, who's with us today?
Author and pastor Mark Clark. He's the founding pastor of Village Church in Vancouver, Canada, one of the fastest growing multi-site churches in North America. He combines frank and challenging biblical preaching with real-world application and apologetics to speak to both Christians and skeptics alike, confronting questions, doubts, and assumptions about Christianity. He was previously on the show, like we just said, talking about his book, The Problem of God, and just couldn't wait to hang out with us again. And we said, what the heck? We're glad to have him back on the show. Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Mark Clark.
How you doing, Mark?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right, good. It's so glad to have you back. Now, in the book that you wrote, The Problem of God, you actually have a chapter about Jesus' exclusivity,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Let's just rewind a little bit. Why did you write the book in the first place? Just to set things up here.
Yeah, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And so becoming a Christian, then becoming a pastor, then becoming a church planter, and now having led that church for the last 8 years in one of the most de-churched, unchurched parts of the world and cities within Canada, I wanted to take the top 10 skeptical questions that people have against Christianity, the things I hear out on the road and street and life and family and friends and whatever, and the things I used to have doubts about, and then try to respond to them. And so, you know, exclusivity is obviously up there. It's one of the most offensive. You know, there's probably three or four, you know, hugely offensive issues that people in the modern Canadian and you know, increasingly American context, post-Christian context, find offensive, and exclusivity is certainly up there. Hell's another one. Sexual ethics and so on's another one.
Yeah.
And so evil and suffering and so on. So I wrote the book to really answer those questions the best I could for the skeptics among us.
That's great. And so he gets into this chapter about Jesus being exclusive. Now, just to set things up, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus actually says,
Well, it says, Jesus replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
No one comes to the Father except through me. And we're fans of context here. So just to pull the verse out, make sure we're not taking it out of context. Jesus is teaching. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, all right, that's God, right? Yeah. In God's house, there are many dwelling places. Now that doesn't sound exclusive, right? There's lots of room. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Like, this doesn't sound exclusive at all.
Right.
He's saying, God's there. There's a place for you. I'm making a place for you. And he says, you know where I'm going. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way to where you're going? And Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way. Then he says, and I'm the truth and I'm the life. And he goes, no one comes to the Father but through me. So he says, I'm making this place. There's lots of room in God's house for you, but I'm the only way there. So right. Mark, did we sum that up correctly?
Yeah. I think Jesus lays out one of the most exclusive teachings, not only in you know, passages that are on the nose as that, but through, you take the whole corpus of his ministry, and he's here to say something extremely exclusivistic. And in the marketplace of ideas, it's one of the most scandalous things that's ever been said. It's like, you know, not only, you know, this is fascinating. Not only does he say, he doesn't say, I'm going to teach you the way. That would be what most religions, that would be what Muhammad says. That would be what Buddha says. He doesn't say, I'm going to teach you the way or show you the way. He says, I am the way. So like, I am actually the exclusive door now in salvation history. Now that I've arrived, there's no other way.
Mm-hmm.
except me. And so that's scandalous to the core.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you, just to kind of put this in a different context, if you were like joining a baseball team and you said to the coach, how do I get on the team? Like, do I need to be a good batter? Do you need a fast runner? Like, how do I get on the team? And the coach said, I'm how you get on the team. Right?
Right.
Me.
Right.
All right. Right. I mean, he's just told you it's not about your abilities. It's not about the rules or whatever it is about the game. It's just the coach's decision. Jesus is the only way. Now, does this, by default, I mean, what does this say about other religions? Because this is some of people's problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's so atheism says all religions are false. Inclusivism, which is what we're talking about, the opposite of exclusivism, says that all religions are true. And this is the fundamental problem. Is so we look at, you know, the that Ricky Bobby movie, you know, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby. Yes. And I talk about this in the book, right? The heresy of Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
Where Ricky Bobby's on fire and he doesn't know what to do, so he jumps out in his underwear and he runs around and, you know, he says, help me, Jesus, help me, Jewish God, help me, Allah, help me, Tom Cruise, use your witchcraft on me, help me, Oprah Winfrey. Right. And so what he's doing is he's hedging his bets. Mm-hmm. He's doing a very inclusivistic thing. He's saying that one God doesn't necessarily exclude the other. So I'll just hedge my bets and I'll kind of believe in all of them and hope that, you know, one of them is true, not realizing that by, you know, just by the process of elimination, if Tom Cruise can heal him, then Allah's probably not really a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and if Jesus can heal him, then, you know, Oprah Winfrey may not be able to. So it's like either or. That's what our culture hates. The very, because it sounds judgmental. Mm-hmm. It sounds really narrow. And of course, Jesus taught, you know, the road to life is narrow and very few find it. That's like anathema to our culture. I'll read you a couple of quotes that I found.
Yeah.
I include them in my book, just to kind of give the feeling of our present cultural scenario. Rabbi Shmuley Boteik, who's this writer, says, I'm absolutely against any religion that says that one faith is superior to another. I don't see how that's anything different than spiritual racism. So, you know, if you want to pack something into the emotional language, just use racism language and you're pretty stuck. Gandhi said, my position is that all great religions are fundamentally equal. And Oprah said, one of the biggest mistakes humans make is to believe there's only one way. Actually, there are many diverse paths to God. And so that's kind of the framework of what most people, and that kind of goes to the heartstrings of most people. Now, we can get into, and I'm sure we will explain why this is a fundamentally false or unworkable position, but that's what the general populace feels on the street.
Yeah, that actually absolutely is. The Dalai Lama Tenzin Gyatso actually said that religions are like medicine. You know, some like are a balm, and if this one doesn't work to heal you, then you need to find a different one to heal you. Maybe you need a different one to feel. Do you want to feel connected? Maybe go with Buddhism. You know, do you want your absolutes? Right. Go with Christianity. But like, what if the biggest problem isn't just feeling right? What if the biggest problem is our sin and the fact that we've actually become disconnected from an actual God that exists? I mean, then it's not just about how you feel. It's about a reality. There's a real problem here. And you know, for some of you who are listening, who are thinking, well, man, this exclusivity thing, you guys are acting like this is a big deal for you, but it's not. Not everybody sees it that way. You just got to actually ask yourself, what if this is actually the way it is?
Right.
I mean, what if there is really a God and he really has said there is only one way? And yeah, actually, I've heard you talk about this before, and in your book, you talk about the law of non-contradiction. Would you go into that just a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm wearing socks or I'm not wearing socks. So if I said, am I wearing socks? And you said, no, I'll illustrate it this way. This is not a made up story. None of my stories are made up. Of course, some people think they are. Now, whether they're exaggerated a bit, maybe, who knows, but this one isn't. Okay. So I'm playing golf with a guy. I'm a big golfer. So I was on a I was on a vacation in Palm Springs over the holidays and with my family, and I went golfing one day. So I'm playing golf with a guy, and he's there. He's a friend of a friend. So I don't really know him. This is the first kind of time we've hung out. And about the 15th, 16th hole, we start to he starts to say things like, you know, hey, you know, you're a pastor, right? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, hey, what's the difference, I mean, between your religion and everybody? Isn't everybody just trying to find different ways? It's pretty judgmental of you to say you're right and every other religion's wrong. And I said, okay. I said, let's not even get into the history and the philosophy and psychology quite yet of which religion might be right or wrong or whatever. Let's just start with some basic logic. And I said, you're a math guy. And he's like, yeah, he does a whole bunch of, you know, accounting. Cool. And I said, so 2 + 2 = what? And he said, what are you talking about? I said, what is 2 + 2 in reality? In reality. And he's like, it's 4. I'm like, okay, somewhere out in the cosmos, in the law of math, it's just, you know, it's 4.
Yeah.
And then he says, I said, okay, now what if I'm your daughter? And I come home and I said, you know, Dad, I feel like it's 5. I think 2 + 2 should equal 5. I'm offended that you think it equals 4. I like 5.
Yeah.
Who are you to tell me I got this wrong on my math test? And he actually said, well, if to you 2 + 2 = 5, fine, then that's what it should equal.
What?
Wow.
Well, because he knew where I was going.
Sure, that's the only way.
It's the only way. It's like, how dare you be exclusivistic with all of these math numbers?
Oh, right. Come on.
So he has this premise that if you feel, because of course he knew where I was going to go, which is there is truth somewhere. Now, not even arguing that I'm right yet. I'm just saying somebody's right. Here's the fundamental flaw. I would rather you say that everybody is wrong, like atheism does, than say that everybody's right. Because it's way more logical to say everybody's wrong.
Yeah. At least it's that one could logical. At least saying everyone's wrong could potentially be correct.
Right.
Could be correct. Everybody's right can't be correct, because the minute you go below the golden rule, every religion just contradicts each other.
Right.
Whether, you know, if Islam is true, if the Muslim neighbors that I know are right, then I'm wrong straight up. Let's not just pretend so that we can get through the day and have Thanksgiving dinner together. Yeah. Let's not just pretend that we're both right.
Yeah.
Either Jesus is a complete abomination and isn't God. He claimed to be, but he's not. Or he is, and the Muslims are. We can't both be right. So
yeah,
I think it's really important that, you know, Tim Keller tells that story. He's in New York, of course, and he's on a panel of a Jewish rabbi and a Muslim imam. And he tells the story. They're in University Town in New York, and they're all on the panel. And all three of them said, if the other one's right about God, then I'm fundamentally wrong and I'm going to hell. Mm-hmm. And all three of them on stage were fine about that, because, of course, all three of them are exclusivistic religions. And the students were offended that those three representatives of their religions would be this exclusivistic about each other, because they're all right. And all of the reps were like, well, no, that doesn't work. That's not logical.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we as Christians say Jesus was God in flesh. Yeah. And even about that, I find this fascinating. Even the other religions make claims about who Jesus was. I mean, the Muslims, they claim that Jesus was a prophet, but not God. Well, either they're right or we're right. You can't both be right. And Hindus,
right?
I mean, y'all, we're coming up to a station break. All right, so we're going to have to take a break
Who runs this thing?
Yeah, I don't know, some clown. But we're going to have to take a break right there. We're going to be right back. More with Mark Clark, pastor of Village Church and author of The Problem of God. Mm-hmm. You can actually find his website, PastorMarkClark.com. That's PastorMarkClark.com. We're going to link to that at TruthRevolution.tv. We're going to be on the other side of this. We're also going to answer Bible contradiction. Let Mark jump in there too if he wants to. There's a lot more to cover on the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. Got some hard questions for you, Mark. Hope you can handle these coming up. We'll see. All right. Dave, where should they go?
TruthRevolution.tv.
And what happens if they don't?
they probably will be less of a person.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like they would die or something.
I didn't want to go that far.
That would be yeah. more compelling, I think.
Yeah, you will die if you don't go to that website.
That's not true. Well, either it is or it isn't. But we can't both be right.
That's true.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back. TruthRevolution.tv is the website.
Revolution Church.
Have you ever thought, gee, I'd like to go to church, and I really wish someone would make me get out of bed early?
Not me. I like my sleep.
Just go with it. We're making an ad.
Okay. Yes, I have always wished someone would wake me up earlier.
Okay, I got lots of kids, so I'm already awake. New service time at Revolution Church, 8:30 a.m.
Cool, and for those of us who prefer beauty sleep, Revolution also has 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m.
Check out www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Revo.church.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit HopeHouseKS.org.
That's HopeHouseKS.org.
God cares more about the inside of a person than the outside.
So Revolution Church, we agree. Want to show up wearing old sweatpants and an eye patch? You're good.
What if they don't need an eye patch?
Literally doesn't matter.
We're more concerned about what God wants for you.
We do teaching from the Bible. It's in-depth, super practical, meaning
there's not even time to waste on what someone is wearing.
Seriously, come on out. Maybe you'll find someone to swap an eye patch with.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Don't judge me. Jesus said it in Matthew 7:1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged.
This is one of the most commonly misinterpreted verses ever.
Was Jesus' intention for us to never point out when someone is wrong? Never to judge an action?
In Matthew 18, Jesus tells us to confront sin, so we can't ignore it, but how do we do that without judging them?
Important distinction. Ignoring someone's sin is not the same as not judging them.
I can ignore someone and still judge them in my mind.
Helping people out of sin is a great thing, as long as we aren't thinking evil or hating them.
The Bible never says to punish a sinner. If there's revenge, it's God's anyway. Our job is to lovingly help them be restored and repent from their sin.
Without casting judgment. So, when Jesus says not to judge, he's referring more to an inward attitude.
It doesn't mean we cannot judge whether an action is right or wrong. We're supposed to do that.
Amen.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. I got something to say, though.
All right, Dave, hit me.
You know, I'm okay with all paths lead to God.
What?
Only if.
What the?
Listen here. Hear me out.
Hold on. I'm about to fire someone.
Hear me out. As long as all those paths converge on Jesus first. Okay? It's kind of like you can't get to Idaho Springs, Colorado without going through Denver first. You know what I'm saying? So, my path led to Jesus. Your path led to Jesus. His path led to Jesus. But you got to stop at Jesus first.
All right.
Okay? Can you handle that?
Sure.
We're done with exclusivity.
Well, you know, I did some reading. And Mark, I'd be interested to hear your perspective on this. One person was saying, actually, I think this was a Gospel Coalition article. And it says the Jesus of the Gospels is offensive because of how exclusive he is. Mm-hmm. And then it says the Jesus of the Gospels is also offensive because of how inclusive he is. And then it goes on to say that often the church is offended by his inclusivity. The church is offended because Jesus wants to bring everyone in. The people that we don't like, he wants to bring in. But the world is offended because he's exclusive. So he's both inclusive and exclusive. He offends the church and the non-church.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you look at the ministry of Jesus, he's always saying the ones you thought were in are out. the outsiders are insiders and the insiders are outsiders. So especially in something like the Gospel of Luke, where he's constantly from chapter one on, there's this theme of like, you've got it wrong. You know, the prodigal son story, the tax collectors and sinners story, the prostitutes, the everybody he's hanging out with is all the wrong people. And the prodigal son story, it's, you know, it's an older brother and a younger brother. The older brother is the religious guy. The younger brother is the secular, you know, guy out and about hanging with prostitutes and whatever. And that story is all about how the younger one actually comes in and the one you thought was in ends up outside the party. And the story ends with him outside the party. Right. He never even comes in. Wow. So in Jesus stories over and over and over again, all the people you thought were going to be the front of the line, you know, the last will be first and the first will be last. He upends everybody's expectations. So in that sense, he's inclusive because he says, whether you're the most religious person in the room or the most irreligious, messed up, nonsensical person in the room, the ground at the foot of the cross is equal. Everybody is needy for the gospel to be true. And then once they take on the righteousness of Jesus, there's this equality because it's based on him, as you were saying earlier, not based on who they are.
That's so good. Let me just ask you this question though. We do say it's exclusive. We say there's no other way, no other religion can bring you to God or salvation or heaven. Do we believe that we're superior to other religions? Is that a word we would use, or how would we handle that?
And see, and this is where the conversation went with the guy in the golf course. He jumped from, so he said, so let me just get straight what you're saying. Are you saying you're right and everybody else is wrong? And I said, well, I do believe. And then he jumped from that. You go, then you're going to kill people and start wars and murder and rape everybody. I was like, whoa, hold on a sec. That leap. Let me put it like this. I think there's a difference between saying, let me say it like this. I think the inclusivistic spirit comes from a good intention, right? Which is, we live in a multicultural society and our neighbors, our friends, our family are all from different countries and blah, blah. I believe in cultural pluralism. I think, in fact, Christians don't and fight for the religious rights of people of other religions.
Yeah.
I believe that's part of our calling. What I think the mistake people have made and other scholars have said, there's a difference though between cultural pluralism and what's called metaphysical pluralism. And what metaphysical pluralism is it's a view about metaphysical realities. For instance, God, the existence of God and what he's like. Mm-hmm. Don't jump from a cultural pluralism, which says, religions, people from other countries, all that's equal. Everybody's good. And then jump that into a metaphysical pluralism that says everybody's views on God are right as well.
Right.
Mm. That's the leap we've made. And I think there has to be a distinction, superiority that grows out of this belief. There's simply an understanding that I'm trying to figure out what is most right in regard to history, theology, philosophy. And if I conclude that it's Christianity and not this religion or that religion, it shouldn't mean superiority. It should mean a humility.
Oh man, right. That's so good. Hey, you know what? Let me pause here for a second.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today, Brian. 1001biblecontradictions.com.
Wanted to make sure we got it in.
Right. So, do we help the Samaritans or don't we help the Samaritans? John 4:39-41. Any of the Samaritans from him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his word, were believers.
All right, so Jesus stayed for 2 days helping Samaritans.
Right. Matthew 10:5-6 says, these 12 Jesus sent out to with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any of the towns of the Samaritans. Go lost sheep of Israel.
So don't go to the Samaritans. Don't go. All right, well, we have our cracked acronym that we like, TKED. The C stands for context, like just that verse. And the A is off. What was he intending on communicating or doing? So when Jesus said this, an all command, like a command in all space, right? This was a limited amount of time for a specific, and if you actually look at it, I think one of the main purposes here was to kind of teach them some things about how their faith works,
right.
About how driving out demons works. I mean, all sorts of stuff they encountered, and they came back to Jesus. He taught them about what things were like. You actually get Jesus giving the final word on this right before he leaves earth. Right? He's risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. He was crucified. He's risen from the dead. He comes to the disciples. He's about to raise into the air and go away. And this is what he says in Matthew 28:19.
Go and make disciples of all nations.
All nations.
Mm-hmm. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
So before he leaves, he says, hey, do this for everybody. So we definitely had his intention at the beginning was, hey, guys, stick with the Jews. We're going to teach them first. And then when he left, he says, now go everywhere for everyone. So it's not just for the Samaritans. They're just looking at one little slice of time. Hey, Mark, is there anything you want to add to that?
No, it's good. I mean, I think this is a classic example of descriptive and prescriptive reading of the Bible. Not everything in the Bible is meant to, be some kind of, prescription for everybody at all time and blah, blah, blah. There's these descriptive moments where it's just like, what was happening at that moment? I mean, we're supposed to build 9 sermons out of it and 4 lifestyle values.
Yes, absolutely. All right. That's our answer for our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right. We are just knock them all down. They keep setting them
contradictions. Mm-hmm. It was a good try, though. It was a good try, Mark. So, I'll acknowledge that we don't think our faith is superior. A lot of people like to give the argument. Do we already do the elephant thing?
Yeah.
Religion is like an elephant before.
Yep.
Go ahead and what you think about it.
Yeah. So I put this book as well about the 4 men, blind men and the elephant and how religions, 4 blind men walk up to an elephant. One is holding a trunk, another's holding the leg, another's holding the ear. And someone says, what is it? And they say it's a paper, it's a tree, it's, a hose, whatever. And so these are just us groping around in the dark, not being able to know whatever. And so Leslie Newbegin points out that the story backfires because it's being told from the vantage point of someone who can actually see, someone who's not blind, someone who does have a so the whole point is people saying you can't have a comprehensive vision and understanding of reality. Nobody's allowed to have a comprehensive vision of reality. That's mean, that's superiority. But the reality is the story is being told from the vantage point of someone vision of reality.
Yes.
Who says I can see the elephant. Mm. I know truth and I'm standing here knowing all truth, and I'm looking at you saying you can't know all truth. So it's obviously a contradiction in terms to be able to.
Yeah, it's interesting how even say all religions are valid, this statement that you believe religions say things like, well, our religion is absolutely true and other ones aren't. You're offended. Absolute nature of this is made. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think someone who says that all religions are true is, everybody, that view is exclusivistic because it says the only truth that should is the truth that all so that's exclusivistic by definition. Anybody who doesn't believe that's wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly so, right. Be non-exclusive by saying everyone is wrong.
Right.
And it's actually one of the most, as I point out in the book as well, that view is actually ends up being one of the most offensive of all the views because, Muslim that has died for your laws and rights for thousands of years. Hey, Jew, family and grandparents killed to death fighting for what's true and right during the Maccabees, all that, holding hands. I know you died for it, but boy, that was silly.
Yeah.
Because everyone's right. So what'd you worry?
Right. Now, I say to you, yeah, but you're wrong too, just like I am, aren't you?
Yeah, that's the point, is there's people who are wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
And most people are willing to push them to the wall, are willing to accept that some, and here's where ideas are better than others. So most people would be willing, coffee shop, and they say, well, all religions are true. You say, well, is David Koresh's religion true? The one in Waco, or how about the guy, who 900 commits after daughters and made them all of basically his sect in the 80s. Is that guy true? What about the Babylonian religions that would beat a drum and babies in the fire? Is that religion true? Well, no, those ones aren't true. Okay, so which ones?
That was Pastor Mark Clark. You can find his website at PastorMarkClark.com. And his book, Problem of God, The Problem of God, right, is on Amazon and all sorts of places. You can also go to his website, yep, PastorMarkClark.com.
We're going to link to it anyway.
At TruthRevolution.tv. Yep. So, David, where should people go right now?
TruthRevolution.tv.
And what happens if they don't go there?
They're not going to die, Jeff.
We just wanted to clear that up in case anyone else is confused.
If they do go there, they may get enlightened about some things. We got tons of shows on there.
So they won't necessarily die if they don't go there, but you may find life if you go there.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah, I see what you did. Turn that right around. Yeah.
All right. So thanks for joining us. Also, you should come out to Revolution Church. We got multiple service times for you. We're not boring. We'd love to have you. We're not judgmental. We just want you. We want God to teach you. We want to learn about God with you.
Amen.
Coming out as you are right now. Thanks. See you next week. Truth Revolution at Revolution Church.